It's a show where we talk about the power of your mind
to change your world around you,
to literally affect
the fabric of your reality.
We talk about this feeling of hope
and joy
and relief. And that is what being aware of your flow does. It gives you a feeling of power again in your lives.
You hit, oh my God, you are so on target. You are so amazing. I can't thank you enough.
It is the feeling that you bring forward. It is your emotional connection that really sets the tone for what is going to be happening to you and for you. And you know that feeling when you touch it. It just spreads through you.
Thank you for taking my call. I don't know why I feel like crying. I think I just feel your love.
Of course.
And I think I'm going to get some answers.
I'm Summer McStravick, and welcome to another episode of Flow Dreaming. Welcome to your flow. Welcome to our flow, the world's flow, life's flow. The feeling good flow. Flow dreaming is about creating and manifesting. It is about being able to talk to the universe in an incredibly powerful way where you stay in alignment, where you start to behave in alignment. It's not just thinking it or feeling it. You extend it into the way you actually interact with the world. It also drops into the realm of intuition, being able to talk to people intuitively, learn stuff, know things, see the future, feel patterns in our lives. Flow energy is your gateway. It's the gateway into everything relating to the other side, the non-physical, essentially. So in this podcast, we love to explore this. We pick a topic every week. We dive into it, talk about it, go deep. I take your calls as well. Love to take your calls. If you want to find out when I air live and what number, go to my website, flowdreaming.com. It's always up there for you to see when you can call in and so forth. I love to look in you, help you out if you have questions, things going on in your life. You need some direction, guidance, intuitive work with or manifesting to get stuff shaken, moving, and rolling with you. It's funny. I've got something called the Me School of Flow, and I work with lots and lots of students there. I talk with them every week. Just this week, it was quite funny. I was talking with one of my students, and she said, you know, like 3 days after we spoke, her house sold, the one that had been on the market forever. Let's see. Then there was another student who, it was a very similar thing. Oh, it was with a person who, wasn't getting along with her, like immediately after our session. The woman calls her and they start to like work things out again. She said, how do you do that? Like, it's just flow. It's just flow. It's communication. It's, you know, you can only go so far sometimes working on the physical side of things, and you get stuck and you hit a ceiling and you don't know what to do. Well, you know, turn to the non-physical, turn to the world of energy, spirit, you know, our quantum interconnectedness. Open the mind, open your energy, open your emotions to begin talking and working in that realm. And it's like learning how to live life all over again. It's a very different perspective. So all that being said, hey, today's topic is for kids. I know, maybe because it's around the holidays right now and, you know, we're getting together with our families and our kids, and almost every show I teach is for grown-ups. Well, I mean, kids can listen too, but they're adult topics, work, you know, relationships and things like that. But I'm a mom. I've got an 8-year-old son and a 11-year-old daughter, soon to be 12, and I have been trying to quietly teach them about my work, my philosophy, my worldview, even while I've mothered them, you know, all my life. When kids are younger, they're so impressionable. What you say is real. It's it. So the younger your kids are, when you start working with them, the better. You know, if you start working with them as a teenager, it can be a little trickier because they're already predisposed to be thinking that you're going to be wrong in everything that you say or think or do or look like. But you can still get it across, not just through your words, but your behavior. And then they look at you and how you live life. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you stressed? They're modeling you every moment. So we're going to look today about how to help your kids understand flow. And hopefully it'll help you a little bit as well. Quick note, I mentioned Me School already. It is actually enrolling right now for the year. The 2015 school year is going to start in February. And if you have any interest at all, do go to my website. There is a section called Me School. You can actually schedule a talk with me where I will go over any questions you have, explain to you a little about what it is, what it costs, you know, what the involvement, the commitment, what you actually learn. So if you're curious about learning manifesting and flow dreaming and intuition and all that good stuff, go check that out. So what do I do with my kids to teach them, to introduce them about flow? Well, first of all, I don't ever lecture them about this because I want them to learn a way of looking at life. I don't want them to learn something that will feel like a chore or something mommy does that now I have to do too, like it's a burden. So when I'm working with flow with them, it's more like an ongoing modeling. For instance, I talk to my kids on the way to school every morning. I drive them to school and I'm putting in things like, hey, something really magnificent is going to happen today. Something you're not expecting. It's just going to feel so good to you. And my son says, yippee, yay. And my daughter says, uh-huh, really? Doesn't matter. I'm introducing an emotional expectation. I don't say what's going to happen, but I'm rising up. I'm bringing up, raising up their emotional expectation for the day. Now it's a seed. It's in them. Hey, something unexpectedly good might happen today. Now, they start moving through their day with that seed of potential in them. It means they may make different choices now because they're making choices toward the anticipation of something good happening. What does that do? Really spikes up the possibility that something good will, in fact, happen. They are now starting to mirror the potential for something really wonderful to happen. What does flow do? What does energy do? Flow mirrors back to you who and what you are. So if they're going throughout the day with this good feeling in them, good opportunities are more likely than they were before to start lining up to them. So I'm tricky. Tricky. Let's see, what else do I do? Instead of, say, asking, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? Every kid goes, ugh. And their answer changes, you know, pretty much, you know, daily. My daughter wanted to be an architect. Primarily because she was into Minecraft. Then she wanted to go into the sciences. Nope, now she wants to write books. It's always changing. Instead, I ask, how do you want to feel when you grow up? How do you want to feel? It's a very different question. Have you ever asked your kids that? How do you want to feel when you grow up? And then you can kind of, you know, help them along. Like, do you want to feel like really free? Like you could be anywhere at any time doing anything you wanted? Or do you want to feel inquisitive? Do you want to always be learning things and discovering things? Do you want to feel investigative? Do you want to go deep and figure things out and then share them with the world? Do you want to be challenged? Do you like that when you achieve something, when there's that goal? Do you love that feeling of having goals and being challenged to get there? Do you want to feel secure? Do you just feel more calm and relaxed when you have a lot of security in your life? Do you want to feel adventurous? Do you want to be all over the world, wherever you want to be, exploring new things one after another? Right? This gets them thinking now, not about a particular job, because honestly, when you're 8 or 10 or 12 or even 15, even if you're 40, we still don't know all the different jobs that are out in the world. We only have a fraction of them. You know, the American lexicon of, you know, the 50 jobs each one of us could actually name. But then you always find people who do jobs you've never heard of before. And then you think, how in the world did they land into that? What particular funnel or pipeline led them to that? I bet they didn't even know that that job existed, right? Isn't that most jobs? Actually, most jobs, you don't know what they are, but they exist. And someone took some strange route to get there. Well, flow dreaming is that strange route. And it's based on the inner expectations, the inner ideals of who and what you are. So when you're saying to a kid, hey, you know, they answer, I want to feel adventurous and challenged. Ah, well, I bet you there are lots of things you could do that would give you that feeling. Here, feel that with me right now. You're adventurous and you're challenged. What does that mean? Ooh, it means you get to test things, maybe. It means you get to discover things, maybe. It means that maybe you're put in positions where you have to figure out how things work or how to make them better. Right now, as a grown-up, you're already clicking through potential careers. Engineers do this. Product testers do this. Product development people do this. Teachers do this. Scholars do this. Scientists do this. A lot of potentials here. You know, world travelers, you know, people working in foreign countries, people who work for foreign governments, diplomats. Lots of potential jobs that will fulfill those emotional criteria. Now, you as a parent are probably feeling like, it'd be wonderful to see my child settled in a job that made them feel emotionally, you know, secure and fulfilled. Ultimately, that's what we want. That's why we pick out things like doctor and lawyer and banker and dentist, because we're going for the feelings of security, stability, not having to worry about them. So we come up with those. Those represent stability, security, income. You know, we find out what your kid wants, help them figure out the emotional endpoint of where they're going. Here's another thing. You know, when we're talking about friends, I always say, how do you want to feel in this friendship? Not what did they say? What did they do? What are you going to do about that? Right? You don't have to go into that with them. How do you want to feel in this friendship? Your friend hurt your feelings? Well, how do you want to feel with this person? Are they important to you or not important to you? Do they merit your attention or don't they? Again, you see, we're shifting this back to the emotional point right now. And you might even call this developing your child's emotional intelligence. This is key. This is crucial. Now it's not a question of he said, she said, this and that. It takes your dialogue with your kids to a whole new level. Likewise, helping your kids understand the lack cycle in their thinking. Believe me, they've picked that up. They picked it up from you. They picked it up from their other parent. They picked it up from their teachers often. They picked it up from their schooling, society. You know, every time they see advertisements on TV, it's reinforcing the lack cycle. You don't have this. Don't you want this? You don't have it. That's what advertising is. Every time they go to school, only some kids get A's. We reserve those only for a few. The rest of you, you don't get it. A lot of things are set up to reinforce the fact that you don't get it, you don't have it, you have to work for it. And it's a good thing. If you have to work for something, you know, the flip side is we're instilling goals in our kids, the desire to achieve. But the dark side, of course, is, yeah, you can't really expect to get that. You can't expect every teacher to like you. Can't expect every, you know, friend to like you. True, true, true. But watch it when they start to expect lack in other areas. Like, well, I'm not going to get invited to that. Well, our team's not going to win. Well, you're not going to buy me that anyway. Well, listen, guide them from that standpoint. Are they anticipating that they are not going to get their needs met? They will carry this into a lifetime of anticipating that. As they grow, your child is growing every day in their ability to get their needs met. That's why they're going to school. That's why someday they're going to become independent. They're learning how to ultimately pay for their own apartment, how to ultimately get a job, how to ultimately, you know, do all these things, increase their independence and get their needs met on their own. Right now, you're getting their needs met. You're their primary means for doing so. You are a big, big role. So look at them from that standpoint. So there are four or five really big ways that you can already begin shaping your kids to pay attention to their emotional self, honor that self. Now, what about the flow component of it? How do you introduce your idea or your kids to the idea of flow dreaming? Well, the way that I talk to them is I don't say, well, there's three components to flow dreaming. There's the daydreaming, there's the emotions, there's flow itself, and here's the quantum background. I don't do that. What I do is I say, really simple. You know how sometimes you get really upset and you cry and you're mad, or sometimes, you know, when we're going to Disneyland, you're really, really happy. Well, I had to say something to you, or something had to happen for you to feel that way, right? You know, your emotions didn't kick in until you had something to be emotional about. Let's pretend that we can just have an emotion about anything we want, anytime we want. And it hasn't happened yet, but we can feel that way anyway. you can have an emotion on demand. Trust me, kids know what on demand is. It's how they watch all their TV shows anymore. It's how they, you know, play games. It's how they listen on demand. Oh yeah, I want that and I want it right now. We come from an era, most of us, where if we wanted a song, we had to wait for the radio station to play it. And we'd sit there for hours with our little tape cassettes waiting to press to record for when it was given to us. Kids today, they're like, hey, I want it. I should have it right now. Well, teach them, hey, emotionally, go ahead and feel it right now. And they'll say, but I don't have actually what I want to feel that emotion about. So what? Let that come afterwards. Get that ingrained in them. Once they're on board with you, once they're down with that, it becomes easy to then say, okay, close your eyes with me. Let's just daydream together. Let's pretend. Let's imagine. Kids do that naturally. They're way better than we are at doing that. Okay, so we're imagining. Ooh, let's feel something. Let's feel now that every day, every second that ticks by, you're like a spaceship, right? You're flying into your future. You're moving through space, and they're already conjuring up Star Wars in their head. Yeah, yeah, I'm the spaceship. I'm the spaceship. Like, wow, look how far you've gone. You're traveling like eons. You're going so fast. This is you. This is like your spaceship is you. And yesterday, that was the planet you saw yesterday. You know, the planet coming up, that's your tomorrow. And right now you're on your way there. You're in between. So when you get to the planet you're going, what if you get to choose that planet? Well, of course I get to choose that planet. What if it's the best planet you've ever been to? Well, yeah, I totally want it to be the best planet I've ever been to. Well, what would that planet feel like? How would you feel when you got there? Well, I would feel like, whoa, you know, I'd have so much adventures and my friends would all be there and I'd be, you know, my teachers would love me and, you know, introduce it. I feel good. I feel great. I did great on that test. Yeah, that test is that planet. The one you're going to do tomorrow. Oh, how do you feel about it? Oh, I feel amazing about it. I totally passed it, but I'm afraid, Mom, I'm not going to. That's okay. You can put that down. Let that go. We already know you're afraid. You don't have to keep feeling that way. We know that. It's okay. We've already heard it. We're good. We got that. Well, what's another way you'd want to feel? Well, I'd want to feel like I totally understood it and got an A. Okay, let's feel that because you haven't felt that way yet. Let's feel that now. But I don't know if I can. Doesn't matter if you can. Let's feel it anyway. If we feel it anyway, we're going to up the chances that it really will happen, right? Oh, I get it. Okay, so let's feel what that A is like. How easy was that for you? Oh, yeah. Okay, you bring them out. Okay, our daydream's ended. Our flow dream's ended. So you go in it with them. You guide them through it. You help them see and feel. You do this often enough with your kids, they're going to start doing it on their own. They're going to start, remember, kids are so fluid. They're plastic. They're like bendable, shapeable. It may take you 6 months or 6 years to eradicate lack cycle thinking from your own mind. Kids, they're going to get it in 6 weeks. Ah, that's how they're going to start anticipating. And they're going to start saying things like, but I've been expecting this for months, Mom. How come I'm not getting that Wii U? How come I'm not getting that Xbox? You say, keep putting it out there. I don't know. It may not come from me. Maybe it'll come from somebody else. Maybe your best friend is upgrading his and you're going to get hit. You know, you're going to get his old one, or maybe we can sell his old. Yeah, who knows? Let's just see how it could happen for us. Let's see how it could happen. You see, you feel already all the doors that get thrown open. And remember, kids have fewer barriers than we do. They're not all clogged up with constant, you know, getting no's, at least most kids. Some kids, yeah, they are. They're clogged up with that, but most kids aren't. Okay, we are going to go to a quickie break. When we get back, doing calls, we're going to do some flow dreaming together. Not sure what flow dream, maybe one with kids or for your kids. If you're a parent, jump in. If you're not a parent, then just come along for the ride. Enjoy it anyway. All right, coming back right after this. Stay with me. Hey, we're on break for just a minute so I can tell you about something extraordinary that I'm doing for the very first time. In a couple of months, I'm hosting a live event in San Diego, California. It's called In Flow. Get it? In flow. You can play with that. It's a 3-day immersion into your flow-filled life. These are 3 powerful days with me, live. We'll be doing tons of processes to align you fully into your dreams, your manifesting, your life. And I'm inviting you to come. Meet me. Come in from wherever you are in the world. Just be there. Go into flow with me. We're so powerful as a group. If you have been listening to this podcast for months or maybe even years, you already have a sense of the power of flow dreaming. It's powerful, powerful, powerful. It's an amazing way to get your year going, right? This is happening in February. It's just past January. You're looking ahead. You're starting to think, what am I going to do this year? Am I actually making those changes I want? Am I feeling aligned or am I feeling in stress? Come to InFlow. Get it worked out. It's happening over President's Day weekend here in the U.S., a nice long weekend. If you want to sign up or even just learn more, go to my website. It's flowdreaming.com or get on my mailing list and I'll be sending you information. I encourage you to get your tickets very quickly. They will sell out. I'm convinced of that. There are a limited number of VIP tickets available, so check it out. I can't wait to see you and perhaps even meet you for the very first time. I'll see you all at InFlow. Welcome back to Flow Dreaming. Hey, we have tons of calls today. Yippee! Let's start with Marquette from Washington, D.C. Hey, Marquette.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
I'm great.
This is a great topic because I'm with my one-year-old son now, and I'm listening to how to teach flow to your kids, and I feel like, you know, I'm at a time now where I'm spiritually awakened, but I'm 34, and I feel like, if you know, it's too late in life to really be spiritually awakened. I wish I had known sooner, you know?
It's never too late.
Okay. I'm coming from a place of lack, I guess.
Yes, I know. So, you know, what you could do with your one-year-old, because he's a little too young to, you know, understand this. You know how when you're just kind of holding and cuddling, open up your heart. Feel your heart like a field of energy that expands out of your body and infuses him. Like you're glowing almost, like you're glowing through him. And put in the feeling that you want him to experience. I used to do this with my son. I still do sometimes when he lets me. And I
love that.
Do you feel my love? My love is in you and around you right now. And I've taught my son to think of it as almost something tangible. And he says, really? Can I feel it right now? Yep. Close your eyes.
Yep.
Feel it right now.
Well, I did that. I stayed home with him for 10 months. And I did that when he was at a daycare. And I didn't quite feel right about it. I used to sit at my desk at work and do like a bubble of love and protection around him until I could get him into a better daycare. I hope it worked. But
that's
I had a question.
Yep. Okay.
I had a question about my career, if that's okay.
Sure. Switch gears. Let's go.
So I feel like I've experienced a lot of career highs that were short term. Mm-hmm. And 4 years ago, I quit my job to pursue my passion. It was incredibly risky, and I was fearless. And then I just had lots of great moments, but nothing that turned into a long-term position. And then it just all kind of crashed, you know, with, like, working with really bad people. And I just wanted to know, like, what did that all mean? Why show me the highest of the highs for 1 or 2 days?
So what line of work are you in? What do you do?
So
What's your passion?
Communication. Mm-hmm. Communication.
Okay. So do you work with adults or kids? Are you a teacher?
I work with adults. You know, I've done a lot of broadcasting and working in the lifestyle arena of television. And it's rough.
Yes.
It's a rough industry.
Yeah, okay. And the people around you, all right, I'm just kind of taking a look at you and looking at the group of people that has sort of been filtering in. And yeah, it's sort of like you're a white duck surrounded by a bunch of brown ducks. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's like the story of my life.
Yeah.
That's the now
feeling.
I'm trying to be more intentional about who I let around me, who I let close, who I enter business and personally. I'm trying to be more intentional, but I'm just kind of like, what did the past 4 years?
Right. So look at it like this. You have a pattern of allowing in people in your life who kind of, they quack differently than you. They're just in a different perspective. Hi. We're gonna put you on hold though, so we can hear. Okay. So I'll finish up with you. It's sort of like, you've been used to being that odd duck and expecting that the people around you are different, difficult, rough, needy, you know, need more from you, don't appreciate you. There's a sense of the people around you perhaps being a little more self-centered than you are. And, you know, you feeling like you just shrug your shoulders and go, oh, that's how it is. And look at the last 4 years as sort of like flow giving you the opportunity to change that, right? They will show up until that is changed. And now you're realizing this must change. And your feelings that the whole industry is like this, my whole career is like this. No, it's not. It's only that way for you. And you figured that out by now. Other people don't have this. You have this. And so you're realizing instead of blaming the outsiders, the people outside of me surrounding me in my career, it's actually me. Okay, that's the point you've reached. And your next question is, well, what do I do with me then? What I feel is that it's time to do some pruning in your life. It's like roses that need to be pruned in the wintertime. You're a rose. You need to be pruned. There are people around you, you just don't need them. You really don't need them. And, you know, no matter how, what you say to yourself, but I need them for the money, I need them for this, you don't need them. And I'm really urging you to look carefully at who those people are, what those relationships are. If you want to get back to that place of sustained highs, you have to say no to all those things you refuse. You have to risk going into the void of perhaps nothing, right? That's the next step. You go into that void of nothing. And that's where you create from. You go, ah, here are the people I surround with. Here are the people who are like me. But I have to change myself if I want to be around those. Those people aren't going to be around me because I'm the kind of person who tolerates a lot of highs and lows and difficults, and it makes me unstable. So the stable people I want to be around, they won't match this energy that I'm in. I have to change mine before those stable people, those stable companies will even approach me. So I hope that helps, gives you some focus, Marquette. Okay. You can talk again. You're there.
Okay.
All right, my dear. Take care.
Thank
I hope
you.
It helps. All right. Bye. Sorry, we had to mute her for a little bit there because her little guy was like, I want to be on air too. Beth, you're calling from Mississippi. What's happening in your world today?
Hey, Summer. How's it going?
I'm good.
This is such a neat topic. I really almost hate to go off tangent with my paltry grown-up woes. I think it's such a great... It's such a great topic that I think on some level we can all relate to because there's so much innocence that I think a lot of us crave, and I think this is a really refreshing topic even for those of us who don't have any kids.
Thank you. It reminds us that a lot of the things kids worry about, we still worry about too, just in a different
way. Yeah. Well, I flat out refused to grow up, so I think I can put a lot of this into my own life.
I just heard that song, I Don't Want to Grow Up. What was that song? Anyway, so what's your question?
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
It's Toys R Us. Oh, my God. Probably because I'm being inundated with Toys R Us commercials now that it's holidays coming.
Oh, yeah. It's the season.
All right.
So, anyway,
this
has been just this nagging issue that I've been trying to push to the back of my mind and push to the back of my mind and try to focus on other things, but right now it seems my common sense and my heart are duking it out. I mean, they are just going at it. It's not a very pretty fight. There's this fellow with whom I am very much in love, and we are completely different people. Our mentalities are different. Our jobs are different. I think that's something about the attraction. And even though a lot of my friends are telling me to, you know, just don't give it any more thought, we have this sort of connection, and it's like one of us will sort of withdraw and the other will contact the other. He's had a raw deal. I think he's still recovering from a bad relationship. I think he's still hung up on his ex, who was unfaithful and I think was pretty abusive. I'm trying to give him all the space he needs, trying to cultivate the friendship, but I keep hoping against hope that there might be something there sometime in the future, and I will wait as long as I have to. But I was wondering if you could do some flow peeking, flow snooping, whatever it is.
All right. Tell me his first name.
Randy.
Randy. And how many years have you been seeing each other for? How long have you been seeing each other for? I don't know why. It just
it's been unofficial. We've just been kind of hanging out since June.
June.
So I wouldn't say seeing each other, but we've had this very strong connection since June.
It's weird because it feels longer than that.
I did meet him years ago.
Oh, okay.
He came over and did a tremendous favor for my family.
Okay.
The first time I ever saw him.
Okay. But so you do have a history of time, even though you haven't really connected and started dating until recently.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see.
And he actually does not want a relationship, but I've just been kind of hanging in there and hoping against hope. But it's funny that you pick it up as dating because there is that tension.
Yeah, it is. I'm just going to ask him about you. Beth wants to say hi. Beth's around. Beth is...
I do love him. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to make a grown man run screaming.
No. I'm just asking him, what's your state of mind about relationships in general? That's funny. His response isn't even words. It's like...
Yeah, that's pretty much what he's told me in so many words.
Yeah, and it's like he can't form the words. It's just...
Yeah.
It's not the aversion to you. It's he's developed this idea that a relationship is like something you enter. I guess it is something you enter into, but it's like a contract, and it's a one size fits all. And he doesn't want to partake in that any longer.
Yeah.
So he's really kind of lumping all relationships into the same category.
Right.
And saying, I don't want that. So I'm exiting from it. He's just like, I'm going to do other things. I want to be with my friends. I want to, you know, he's thinking about, he's got some work things on his mind too. I feel like he's got some transition going on with his work or something he's trying to do or achieve that's pushing on him, pressing on him, on his mind. So he's letting things like that take over. Okay. So what about Beth herself? What do you feel about her? He likes you.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoys you. He doesn't want you to get in that bad category, girlfriend category. It's like it's a categorical thing. Like, I don't want it to cross over into that.
Because
I don't want to do
crossing
that.
Crossing over would ruin it.
Yeah, that's it. You know, as long as you're just kind of. Har, you know, hanging out, not one of the guys necessarily, but there's not a pressure. See, the problem is inside of him. He has built up a wall of expectations, a lot of it based on lack. And you're either in that world of his in his mind or you're not in that world of his. So you're actually in a better place right now. If he started thinking of you that way, trust me, you would get a ton of crap from him that you just don't want to deal with. You don't want to rehab him. You know, you're not going to be the rehab girlfriend, you know, making him ready for another girlfriend after you, you know, the one he works it all out with. That's the position you would be in right now.
Right. Okay.
I don't know if that's what you really want to hear. I think it's just more validating what you kind of said.
What I need is I would rather have an unpleasant warning than tumble face first into something. Yeah.
Yeah. What I would do if I were you is I would just let him be in that no relationship zone for a while. He doesn't have any. See, the thing is, if he had a real strong desire to move out of it, to grow through it, to say, God, I realize I'm this way and I realize this happened and I don't want to be here. But he's not. He's like, I'm here and I'm staying for a while.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not encouraging you.
Yeah.
Because he's not 100% what you need because of
that. Right.
That's just the way it is.
All right.
That's so sorry, fine. Darling.
I needed to confirm my suspicions. So thank you so much.
Better to know. That's what I always say. Yeah. Better to know.
Yeah.
All right. Take care and have happy
All right.
Day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Beth. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So let's do a quick break. When we get back, I think we'll have time for probably another call or two, as well as a lovely, delicious, scrumptious flow dream that will put you in the right state of mind. Maybe address some of those childhood insecurities that linger and remain in many or most of us. So stay with me for more flow dreaming right after this.
Hi, it's summer, but on break. And I know that some of you are still wondering, what is flow dreaming and what is me school? Because I refer to both of these quite a bit in my podcast. Me school is a transformational program. It's a gorgeous and deeply revealing, empowering online school worldwide where I teach you how to remodel your life in any way you choose using the technique of flow dreaming, as well as a bunch of other deeply powerful life-changing processes. So Me School is either enrolling or it's accepting names onto the wait list. And that means that I'm accepting students who work with me for the year, and you can learn how to do what I do in life, the way I think, the way I build things, make things, heal things. Everything I talk about, you will learn directly from me how to do. You're going to create some amazing things. My Me Schoolers, their lives change way beyond the norm. And you don't even have to be a superstar when you go in. Some of you are, and you're ready to go bigger, play in that bigger field. And some of you are just saying, hey, help, what's next? Where should I go? And both are fine. Both are great. If you're ready to go big, but you know that you need to deepen your own spiritual practice and your personal growth, because that's where it all comes from, right? Then this is where you need to be. Your life only grows as big as you do. So here's what to do. Go on over to flowdreaming.com and click on Me School. And during these enrollment periods, you can actually set up a free phone call with me or my staff, and we'll talk about it. Is it a fit? Is it interesting? During waitlist times, we just put you on a list of people who've expressed interest so we can notify you as soon as the doors open. All right. I look forward to hearing from you and even more to getting to know you as one of my personal students in Me School. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Welcome back to Flow Dreaming. Hey, we're going to do a flow in a few minutes, but let's get to, excuse me, Tara, real quick. Oop, let me take a sip something too. Hey, Tara, sorry about that. Just needed to clear my throat. What's up?
Hello, is that
Canada?
Am I on air? Wonderful.
Sure
I didn't
are.
Hear my name. Thank you, Summer. Yeah, I love this topic, and so I called in asking parenting questions.
Great.
My question is, as a parent, how can I deal with offering conflicting messages to my child where on one hand, I want them to adopt this idea that life is abundant and unlimited and all of those wonderful things. Mm-hmm. But in my own life, having my own struggles with lack of consciousness and not necessarily manifesting all that I know is possible, mm-hmm. The reality is saying, I find myself saying things like, say, coming up to Christmas season, you know, don't expect too much because we can't afford it. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that as a parent?
I turn it instead and look at it from a different perspective. I say things like, we are really good with money in our family. We are really good to it. We respect it. We don't overspend it. We spend what we have within our means, and that's how we take care of ourselves. And we stay safe. And we stay secure. Now, if we want more money, we have to think about ways to do that. We have to think about how to increase what we have, increase the pool. Can anybody think of ways to increase the pool? Right? And then it becomes a problem-solving exercise. It's not coming from a, this is all we get, kids. This is the best we can do, kids. It's problem-solving. And even if they can't problem, you know, even if they can't figure it out, you know, mom, get a better job. Dad, get a raise. You know, I'll get a paper route. Kids don't even do that anymore. But the idea
well,
is...
Well, that's what I've experienced. My daughter is 14, so mm-hmm. she's definitely looking at, you know, the differences, the differential between what I say and what she perceives me. And, like, I even have a, like, deal with her expressing, like, a fear to grow up because yeah. that, to her, is synonymous with work and money stressors because that's what she perceives in me. And
right.
it's like, you're right, they watch everything we do and it's not what we say.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
And then I feel that, and then the guilt builds up. I have the parental guilt laying on top of me like, oh, I'm not doing good enough by her, by showing her the right way.
Yeah. You know, and that's something that's parental guilt. That's completely actually separate. You know, I mean, I feel guilty often that I'm working more than I want to with my kids. They see me work hard. I do very well. And I'm happy with my work, but they're learning from me, work hard, work hard, work hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I don't want them to think they have to work hard. I work hard because I enjoy working hard, because I enjoy my work. So it's sometimes, yes, it's hard to pull me out of my office with my fingernails because I like what I do. So I hope they're getting that message too. But nonetheless, my guilt factor says, well, spend more time with your kids. You know, they need that even more. So no matter who you are, we often have something like that playing out. What I would do as you talk to your daughter is say things again along the lines of, you know, learning to be very careful stewards of our money. That's what money is attracted to. Money likes people who take care of it, who treat it well, who don't abuse it, who don't get angry at it, who don't get frustrated at it. That's something I am learning how to do better and better every day. And I want to show you how to have that same attitude towards money. So this is what we have this year, and this is what we can respectfully spend it on. Now, next year, I wonder what we'll have. I'm curious what we'll have. Do you have any ideas? Right? You know, and then bring her into that dialogue. She's 14. She's going to be 15. She might say, you know, I would like to, you know, maybe, you know, I babysit. Maybe I need to start being more careful with, you know, maybe I need to do more babysitting or more careful on what I spend it on, or, you know, come up with ways. You're honoring money, and that's how you're growing money. Just communicate that to her, okay?
That's great. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Tara. Take care. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. That is a great, great, great question. You know, and that's not to say that at times you can't be in even debt. If the debt is for a purpose that makes sense, that betters you, that betters your family, I'm always okay with debt that is actually an investment, right? That a mortgage, that's an investment. Going back to school or going to any school, going to me school, it's an investment. You're increasing your self-worth. If that's the case, then debt becomes an investment. If you're spending it on silly stuff, it's not really an investment, right? And that's where you're getting caught in the phase of, well, I never have enough and I never get the things that I like that pleasure me. It's a whole different dynamic. It's a whole other relationship pattern going on in that case. So just bear that in mind. And I know the holidays put extra pressure to just buy stuff. You know, hold back on that if you can. play around with that. There have been years, in fact, a couple years ago, my entire family, they got nothing but homemade pickled goods from me. I think everyone was a little bit surprised. I said, I don't want to feel the pressure to buy things this year that I don't really want to buy. I'd rather give you something that I made. And they got a crazy assortment of pickled beets, and they got pickled okra and pickled Brussels sprouts. And it's crazy. I hope they ate them. I think some of them ate them. 1 year, everybody got cookies, you know, just tons and mounds of cookies from me. You never know what I'm going to do. All right. Let's go ahead and flow dream right now together with your eyes closed, knowing that we are not meditating. We're not hypnotizing ourselves. We're going into a beautiful emotional place, an absolute and utter connection with the universe, with our greater selves, the place where the inner and the outer meet and match up, the place where the physical and non-physical are no longer yards away, but they're woven into each other. The inner is in the outer. The outer is in the inner. There's no distance. They're the same stuff, just like looking at it with different colored lenses. This is your flow. This is where you're going. This is who you are. You're moving. Your flow is moving. You're moving. How beautiful is that? You are like a stream of colored light. Ooh, just billowing and blowing, like you look up in the sky and you see one of those trails from an airplane, those, I know, calm trails, right? You see that dotted across the sky? Sort of like you. Except the sky, that's your life, your lifetime, your future. The past is there, it gets foggier the further back you look. Future hasn't been made, but right where you are, ooh, that's potent. How are you feeling? How are you feeling right now? Is it how you want to feel? Do you feel good? Do you feel happy? Do you feel at peace? Where do you feel stress? Why? Do you need to feel stress there? Ask yourself. Pause. Just, do I need to feel stress about this? Is it really important? Or is it just something heavy on my shoulders? Do I need it? Do I need to give myself to that stress? Does it deserve for me to feel like I have to carry something heavy and awful? Probably not that important. I'm probably overgiving. I'm probably giving it a level of degree and attention it really doesn't deserve. I want to shrug that off. Shrug it off. Shrug it off. If you have kids, bring them in now with you. If you don't have kids, bring your partner. A boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. If you don't have one of those, bring a friend. Just bring in somebody you care about. Do you see yourself smiling? Smiling and saying to that person, hey, do you want to do what I'm doing? It feels really, really good. It's like a bubble bath for my mind, a bubble bath for my emotions. I'm programming. I'm playing in my energy of now. As I move into the future, I am playing with that. You know why I'm playing with it? Because every time I play with it, I'm building something. Every time I play, it's like I am creating a bit more of a sandcastle that I'm building in myself, in my life. I'm shaping it. What happens when I keep building, building, building inside myself? Pretty soon, almost all of me has been changed or affected. I am not the person I was yesterday or the month before, the year before. I'm 100% renewed. It's like my body. You know how my body, it regrows all of its cells in it over the course of something like a year's time? Well, my emotional energy body does the same thing. It regrows all of its components too. And just like my body regrows those cells with a kind of divine or inner or biological knowledge and intelligence, so, you know, cells in my fingers stay the same. The cells in my liver look the same. Everything looks and feels what it should be. There's a guidance and intelligence. Well, the same is true of me, the greater me. There's a divine intelligence, and I'm part of that, and I'm tapping into it right now. What am I growing into? Well, here is how I feel. I feel extraordinary. feel calm. I don't let things rattle me. I feel focused. I feel clear. I feel expectant. I feel expectant for good things. Wildly expectant for good things. And I feel this enormous sense of allowing these good things in. Oh, here they come. Here they are. One after another. I don't even know what they are. That's kind of the best part. I don't have to know. I like being surprised by good things. Because if I tried to figure out what those good things should all be one by one, it would be quite a chore. And it would probably undershoot what good things really could be coming to me. Oh, indeed. So let's just say great things are coming to me. Hey, great things are coming to you, my friend, my partner, my kid. You're in this too. You could do this with me. It's not hard. It's super easy. Super easy to feel this way, to be this way, to think this way, to carve and create this way. It's like creating. It's like creating from the inside out. Beautiful feeling. To feel that? Oof. Putting more and more in it. More of me. More in flow every day. Always. No going back. And with that, we're going to drop out of our daydream right now and come back. Here we are. Eyes are open. So, I'm sure you noticed a couple things about this. You noticed that we were talking about your emotional self. You noticed we were giving up a lot of control. You noticed some of the language was very casual, comfortable. No highfalutin spiritual talk here. No, just connecting right in. Use the words that work. If you don't need to use words, don't use words at all. Just go into the feeling. Circle and swirl around that which you want to feel and become and be. What did I just program in for all of us? A series of happy surprises. Kind of like I say to my kids every day on the way to school, what happy surprise will happen today? Oh, you know what? They get busy looking for it. It's in them. It sticks in them. Now you're busy looking for happy surprises. You're busy waiting for something to come up and just solve it for you. Something to drop into your lap to make something easier for you. Something to plop into your future that says, go here, don't go there. This is the better route for you. Imagine if that kind of stuff was happening all the time, adding up day by day, month by month, year by year. That's who you get where I am, where my students are, my clients are, my fellow flow dreamers are. And I'm going to leave you with that thought and that feeling and give you one last quickie reminder. Come visit my website, flowdreaming.com. That's where all the goodies are at, getting on the newsletter, checking out Me School. It supports, underwrites the whole program. Tons more resources for you, many of them free. I just want you to learn this. Practice this, love this, change yourself, change your family, change your life. Love to you all. I'll see you in next week's show. All right, that wraps up our episode today. But before you go, two things. One, you can get the Flow Dreaming app in the Google, Amazon, or iTunes app stores. It allows you to search and sort, to mark your favorite episodes. It's completely free to download. And it gives you access to the latest several dozen of these episodes, as well as to the premium episode library, where there are more than 400 episodes that date back 10 years. The app's free, so go download it now at Flow Dreaming in the App Store on your mobile device. And last, if you love my show, I'm going to give a shout out to my mom's podcast. It's called The Dear Venus Show. And she's an amazing intuitive and a medium and super, super funny. Search the words Dear Venus in your podcast directory or online. And that way you can find her too.